Are you looking for food truck books to read, but you're starting to feel overwhelmed with all the content? Or maybe you're trying to find answers to your questions, but you realize you haven't asked the right questions to get those answers. Well, you're in luck. I wrote the book, Before You Launch a Food Truck, 8 Questions Every Aspiring Food Trucker Should Ask. For the past 5 years, I have been studying the food truck industry and been a diehard food truck customer. And in the process of that, I've learned a lot about what makes a good food truck stand out among the rest. I took 8 of those key concepts and created a book where I could have curbside conversations with each of you about them. What makes this book different is not only that it's digestible and designed to not overwhelm you, but it also propels you into action. You can purchase Before You Launch a Food Truck today at thefoodtruckscholar.com/shop in paperback and ebook format, as well as on Amazon. For every copy purchased, I'm donating a copy to organizations committed to helping formerly incarcerated individuals re-enter society, particularly those that are interested in starting their own food business. So, buy a copy today to help yourself and someone else get rolling and keep trucking. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Food Truck Scholar Podcast. I'm your host, Ariel D. Smith, and I appreciate you for choosing to kick it with me for yet another episode. Make sure you share your thoughts on today's episode on social media using the hashtag TFTSPodcast. Today, we're going back to Sweet Home, Alabama, and guess what? This time, we're going to Birmingham, Alabama, my hometown. That's right, the 205 is in the house, courtesy of Chandra James. Chandra James is the owner of the Arctic Shack, and though she boasts everything from hot dogs to nachos and 21 flavors of snow cones, it's the funnel cakes where she reigns supreme. Today, we talk about those famous funnel cakes and how I'm trying to get her to make a peach one for me, as well as the snow cones and how she walked away from 12 years of corporate to pursue her dream. So sit back and relax. The show, or in other words, the Birmingham Takeover, starts now.
Okay, y'all, excuse my hype, but 205 Birmingham, Alabama is in the building, okay?
Woo! Hey! Yes!
This is what I like to hear. You know what? I love it. Outside of any city, I've lived in a couple of cities, I traveled to many, many more. But at the end of the day, it's about the 205, okay?
205!
So, I am talking to Miss Chandra from Birmingham, Alabama. Can you just introduce yourself and the name of your food truck?
Hey, everybody. My name is Chandra, and the name of my food truck is the Arctic Shack. I am from Birmingham, born and raised. So, it's glad to be here. It feels good to be on the show with the food truck caller. It's just a feeling. Thank you so much.
Listen, I'm happy to have it because now I can throw out like different stuff and people know because like most of my family went to A.H. Parker High School. My sister went to Rams, who just graduated. I got an uncle at Woodlawn and I went to John Carroll. So I can say all of that and people know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Shout out to the UAB Blazers.
Yeah, just go Blazers.
I'm loving this already. Okay, this is going to be great. I'm here for it. So, Chandra, how did you get involved with cooking?
Oh, my God. Cooking? I had no plans on cooking ever in life. There has never been something that I ever thought about, to be honest. It just came overnight, really. I knew what I wanted when it came to my truck, but the cooking was like later on. So it was just some ideas. I know, to be honest, you know, I started out with just wanting to shave ice cream. And then little things like, okay, well, you know, they may want a hot dog. Okay, they may want nachos. Oh, Then my sister was like, why not phone a case? I was like, no, ma'am. Uh-uh. That is too much work. So, but I have become this phone a case queen, honey. So that's how it was, just little small things. I just kept adding to the menu as we went.
Right, because I remember, here's how it works. So, you know, I got my little soldiers out running for me, and they don't even know it. But they would text me. I got people that text me, people that call me, because they know this is my thing. And so the way I found you was that somebody took a picture of a post that you had made introducing your truck and sent it to me and said, did you know about this truck? And I said, nah, but I'm about to follow it. So that's how I found you, is that I had my soldiers out and they reported back from the field.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the field.
The field, baby. The field. And so I was like, okay, so she got shaved ice. Then I looked up and sure enough, I'm like, okay, wait a minute, now she got hot dogs, she got funnel cakes. But you say you the funnel cake queen now.
I consider myself a funnel cake queen. Who else in Birmingham is doing it? So that's just, I put that title until somebody else step up. You know, that's what I consider myself.
All right. So what type of funnel cakes you got?
I just love it's so crazy. Okay. I started with the basic stuff and then I just sit here and watch these videos and I really study it like it's a craft now. So I do the regular funnel cakes. I have, of course, the caramel, the apple. What else we put on there? Of course, strawberries. But then I dipped into red velvet. I was like, okay, let me try the red velvet. So then I did the red velvet and then I'm going to feature a new one, girl. Strawberry. Not strawberry topping, a strawberry funnel cake, like a strawberry cake.
Now, let me tell you something. Okay. So, there are a couple of flavors that are near and dear to my heart. I love pineapples. I love peaches.
Okay.
I love pound cake. You know, just random things I love. Now, I can't have your strawberry one because I'm allergic to the strawberry and I can't die for my time. I know.
Okay.
I know. I can't have that one. But I would try all the others. And if it so touches your heart to one day create a peach one, if you
yeah, that's easy.
Good.
Yes, I'm going to try the peaches. And then I have a homemade cream cheese dribble. Not because you can't buy it nowhere. So I make it, you know, with the confectioned sugar, vanilla.
You're telling all your secrets now. Don't
yeah, that's that. Enough right there. But that's what I do. And so that's awesome. I had one girl say she has never had a funnel cake that had it was just a regular funnel cake with powdered sugar and cream cheese on it. I was like, okay, she said it's the best one. So I really love the feedback that I'm getting on, and I just really plan to continue to expand that thing.
Because I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I've had funnel cakes before, but the cream cheese part, I don't think I've ever had. I think it's just been, you know, the funnel cake with sugar, or, you know, they'll put, like, the little chocolate sauce on them, or that little cream cheese drizzle. I think you got something a little different. I think you might want to, you know, go ahead and patent that.
Okay.
You know, go ahead and you know, just go ahead and, you know, copyright the name because, you know, that's $50. You know, go ahead and just.
Okay. I'm going to take that feedback. You're right.
Listen, I'm just, you know, this is true for anybody, but for people of color and more specifically black folks and more specifically than that, black women, we have to be very intentional about copyrighting and protecting our intellectual property.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you're right.
These ideas. So this is for not just you, but for all my listeners out there. When you have ideas and you know right now you're the only person that's doing it, or there may be few people out there doing it, but they're not doing it like how you doing it, go ahead and protect that. You know, now to trademark stuff, it starts costing some money. So you have to know which classes that your business will fall in, or what your idea, what your brand will fall in. And you have to pay per class, and you have to pay to do a search. So, for example, I'm the Food Truck Scholar. Don't nobody else use the Food Truck Scholar. Nobody has ever used that name before me. So I got that on lock. I had to pay for a search so that they could confirm that nobody else uses that name. And then the different classes that I operate under when I do my business. So that could be like advertising, sales, you know, restaurant, whatever. And you will pay per class that it falls on. It's like, I guess like 50 something different ones it could go under. And you look at the ones that it applies to you and you pay for it. And that can cost some money. I ain't gonna lie. That cost some coins. I was crying going through the process. But you can also copyright your ideas, and that usually takes around $50. So
okay,
I say that to any food truck owner that listens, is if you have something that stands out and that is different, you know, copyright it. Now, yeah, there's going to be people that's going to imitate it. They're going to call it something else. Like, we can think about, you know, something real simple. Like, you know, Clorox wipes, somebody going to call them disinfecting wipes. And they even do the same thing. But they can't just jack your whole menu. I'm thinking, in particular, Trap Kitchen is a well-known food truck brand out in Los Angeles.
Okay.
A group in England, in the UK, a few years ago, stole their name, stole their menu, and had everybody thinking that it was them, so much so that they ended up getting a documentary covering people that ain't really Trap Kitchen, which prompted them to go get their trademark and stuff. So, you know, this whole theft thing is real. So protect your intellectual property for sure.
Gotcha.
Protect it. I just had to throw that on out there.
Yeah. That's so true, though.
Let me slide on back to my agenda. So you said that you kind of knew what you wanted to do with the truck, and it was the more of the cooking aspects that came after that.
Yeah, I sat on this idea for about 3 or 4 years, just trying to find a way to fund it, you know, was the hardest thing. But here in Birmingham, we do have a popular Shave Ice location. And there's some great people that give you all the feedback you need if you just go and talk to them. And that's where my idea came from initially, because I loved it. I said, oh, these people are making some money. So, you know, that's where I started from. I wanted a building, but then I was like, no, do something different. Like, pull up on these people with this truck. So that's how I got with the food truck idea. And then it just went from there, with, like you said, with the menu, and continue to add to it and try to cook.
You know, you bring up a good point. It's like, and I know exactly the one you're talking about, I think. But, like, what I like, see, I thought about that to research them. But what I like about, and this doesn't always happen with everybody, but at least what I've seen so far in a lot of different food truck industries and mobile food vending, is people are willing to help each other. Are there competitions?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But I've been to different conferences, I talk to different people, and they say, hey, you know, sometimes they end up volunteering on somebody's truck for a week just to see how they operate. And, you know, the people that they're working under, they appreciate the free labor at that moment in exchange for you learning the ins and outs. And so don't be afraid to approach somebody and say, hey, you know, I'm interested in this. Not just can you teach me, but hey, this is what I'm willing to offer, and can we work this out in return? And, you know, the best information you can get is not necessarily from a book. It's from when you talk to other people.
Talk to people. Yep. It's been a lot of people, like, when I am at events, they come over, hey, this looks nice. Like, how long have you been doing it? We exchange information. It's no competition. It's enough for everybody, you know, to go around and eat. So I just love it, you know, how everybody's willing to just, you know, work with each other.
Exactly. And so, you know, you've been thinking on this idea for 3 to 4 years. Can you tell the listeners, where did you make your debut? So when did the Arctic Shack just take Birmingham by storm?
The Arctic Shack grand opening was April 20th. I quit my corporate job March the 13th. I was over it, you know, putting in 12-hour shifts, and I was done at that point. So I quit a month before I actually launched my business, but nobody knew that I had this idea, you know, going on. A few people knew, but, like, my job didn't know, you know, nobody knew besides my husband and a few, you know, family and friends. So April 20th was the grand opening. I went with that date because that's when it starts warming up here in Birmingham, and a lot of events, that was Easter weekend. So I was like, okay, let's go. And I was just prepared. I prepared, really went hard from January to April, getting everything going. I went and picked up my truck from like three states over. I drove to get it. So it wasn't delivered here. I went and got it. And then that's how we just went from there. I had so much support. It was amazing how many people was like, I'm coming out there to see you. I think our first opening day, we did numbers to where I just had to shut down some things off the menu because it was overwhelming. So that's how it was that weekend. So I was like, okay, I have to figure something else out, you know, where it doesn't get too overwhelming. But it's working now, and everything, I have a better process and a better flow. So that way it works.
So first of all, congratulations. You're like 2 months old. Barely,
yeah,
2 months old.
Today, 2 months today, right?
Yes, happy birthday. Gonna sing happy birthday to Arctic Shack. And to have that type of response, that's a beautiful thing, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to take me back to a couple of dates. The first date that I want you to take me back to is the day, your last day in corporate. What did that feel like?
Oh my! I worked for my job for 12 years. I was employed. From the age of, well, I'm not going to say my age, but from teenager to now, that was my first job. I stayed there for 12 years. The money was great, and that's how I stayed there. But so long as that, I started dealing with anxiety. You know, the pressures of corporate world, it's hard, you know, to meet numbers and things like that. So I really got serious about it towards the beginning of January of this year. And then I reevaluated some things. I had to actually take a leave of absence from work per my doctor because of my anxiety and the depression that I was dealing with at this place. So, and I'm okay to talk about it because I'm not the only one that deal with corporate and know that, okay, it's okay to go and talk to somebody about what you're dealing with and take the time for yourself to reevaluate what is it that I need to be doing with myself. What is my passion? So my doctor said, okay, I'm going to give you 30 days. You got 30 days to figure out. I left in February. I put in my two-week notice on March the 13th. I had a plan. So I just resigned on March the 13th, and I walked out of there with my head high because I contributed a lot to the company. Everyone loved me there. So it wasn't a sad moment. I'm just glad that I stood by myself, and I had this giant leap of faith. Because it took a lot of space. During that month, I did a lot of praying, you know, talking to myself, and just, I actually, what's the word I'm trying to use? I pulled back from a lot of people, and I did it by myself just to think. Because, you know, you have a lot of people out there that will tell you what you need to be doing, but it's only really up to you to make this decision to leave a job that's paying you $50,000 a year to go into something you have no idea what's about to happen next. So that's how it just went, and I'm grateful to be where I am right now, 2 months in, and I probably say that I can see I could do this for a long time. So it's good.
You know, I'm almost teary-eyed listening to this because one, I want to say thank you, because while you're comfortable talking about mental health issues, this is still a hurdle in the Black community that we have to overcome. You know, like, I grew up in a family that said whatever happens in this house, stay in this house. And I battle with generalized anxiety disorder, you know. And so I also grew up in a family that's like, why you crying so much? Why are you acting like this? You're going to end up on somebody's couch one day. As if to say that therapy... as if to say that therapy was like the worst thing that could ever happen to me, when in all honesty, therapy was the best thing for me. And many times therapy saved my life, you know? So for that part, I don't want to miss that, because that's such a big thing that we have to address, that I want to thank you for even taking the moment to share that. I don't want to miss that.
Yeah, no problem.
The other piece I don't want to miss is your doctor gave you a timeline, so you got 30 days.
Yeah.
This space that you in is not healthy. So I'm going to give you 30 days to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a person, so you know, I graduated from UAB in 2015. And, you know, it's that moment where everybody asking you, okay, what job, what you about to do next? What you about to do next? And you done worked 4 years for this degree that you want this job that's paying X amount of dollars. And when you don't get it, you're like, oh, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Or if you do get it, you're like, well, this is what I'm supposed to get. If I walk away from it, what else I'm going to have? And what happens is sometimes people are stuck in positions. It's not that they're not good at it. They can be great at it. They can perform well at it. But I've learned that there is a difference between being great at something and being gifted to do something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, you was great at that job because you've been there for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you was getting anxiety and depression from that job also was like, that's not your free space. That's not your liberty space. That's not the space that gives you peace. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I got a lot of folks that listen to my podcast. I was talking to somebody on the phone not too long ago, and they was like, well, how do you do it? How do you walk away from it? And one of the people I talked to, DeAndre Zachary, on episode 8, man was a executive banker making 6 figures. Runs a food truck, makes nowhere near that right now.
But
used to drive foreign cars, all that type of stuff, and now he don't. And people always tell him to go back. And he said, you know, I could go back and make that salary if I believed that was all I was worth.
Oh, wow.
And when he said that line, it shook me. And I think that's a line that's going to stay with me forever. And when I heard you talking, that's the line that came back. It's like, my mental health ain't worth $50,000. I'm worth more than that. That's what I was hearing from you.
Yes.
Was
so much more.
I'm worth so much more. And so that was how you was feeling on that day. Can you take me to the day where you went those 3 states over and you saw your baby for the first time?
Oh my God, I was so nervous. I actually drove to Kentucky from Birmingham. Well, me, my dad, my husband, and my mom. Of course, I asked my dad to come because, you know, he's a good talker. And, you know, when you're doing a transaction over the phone and you got to drive 3 states to get it, you don't know what you're about to run into. You know, you got, you know, this big check you got to hand over to somebody to get your truck. So, you know, you just wanted to be cautious, even though I did have a lady who was the middleman to talk between me and the seller. And she was awesome. That's what she really made it comfortable. Like, okay, this is it. So going there, it was an 8-hour drive to Kentucky. Green up Kentucky, honey. I couldn't point it out on the map if you told me to. But, you know, we went through rain. It was snowing up in the mountains. And it was just a moment of just, okay, you're doing this now. You got this check. Once you hand it over, you know, stores. So I got there and I saw it. It looked exactly like I saw online. Everything was easy. I handed him the check. He signed the title over to me. Boom, I'm the owner. And it was just that easy. We drove back. It was still raining. That was the longest trip ever because it rained the whole time. And I hate to be on the road while it's raining because I make everybody nervous in the truck because I'm like, stop, slow down, especially with my baby behind me. You know, I didn't want nothing to happen on the way back, but we made it home safe and I parked it and took pictures of it. And I was just like, okay, it's time. It's go time now. And that was within the 30 days. I had to go get the truck. You know, it was the most stuff I had to do with wrapping the truck, but it was just go time from that point on once I got in my driveway.
Wait. So it's like in the 30 days, you had to make the decision, I'm going to walk away from this job and I'm going to get this truck and I'm going to do all of this in 30 days?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Cool.
So when that man said I have 30 days, it was go time. It was every day I woke up with a plan. Like, what are you going to do today to move towards your goal of being self-employed, of being your own boss?
Wow. That's a word right there. Because he gave you, like, no wiggle room. It's like, you should have did it, like, yesterday type of thing. Like, yeah. I had to take that breath for you because my anxiety flared up just then.
Yes, it was like, get it together or know you know, or go back to this job. And I was like, that is not about to happen. So, you know, even though I resigned in March, I was still comfortable enough to wait a whole another month before I even, you know, made my first sale. So I just had that faith that I knew everything was going to work out. So,
right.
I mean, I give all the honor, you know, up above, but that's just how it worked out for me. And I know a lot of people that still trying to do a food truck and work. Even my dad, he said, I don't know how you could have did it. I think I had something to do one day with the paperwork, you know, and getting permits and stuff, and that sends you around the world also. And he was like, you wouldn't have been able to work that job and do this at the same time. That was just his opinion. Now, you know, I feel like I'm superwoman, but I don't think I could have.
I'm thinking about it, and, you know, you said this was something that you wanted to do for 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something on your mind. What was the hesitation in those 3 to 4 years?
It was the funding piece. Like, every year, you know, when I would get a big, to be honest, like a big income tax return, I'm like, I'm gonna do it this year with this. And then something comes up, like some big debt comes up, and you just, okay, you put it with next year. And it just was like, okay, that was it. And when somebody told me, hey, you know, you make this much an hour, we can get 2 of you to replace you. So when I heard those words come from my employer, I was like, nobody else will ever make me feel like this again. And it was just me just telling my husband gave me the go ahead. And he was like, okay, when you gonna quit? And I was like, wait. Now, I didn't mean for you to, like, say it now. But when I got his confirmation and, you know, the confirmation within myself, that was just kind of it right there to just go ahead and move. Like I said, I sat on it for 3 years waiting on something that I probably could have. But you know what? When I look back on it, I probably wasn't prepared. So, you know, your expectations meets preparation. So I wasn't prepared enough. Probably even mentally, I could sit up here and say it was finance, but my mindset even wasn't where it is now to be able to say that I would have been able to do this 3 years ago.
And look, you needed that setup. So, like, in those 3 years, you know, what if you would have started it in year one of that, right? And maybe it got hard and it got difficult. You know what? I can go back to this job.
Oh, yes. That's so true. Giving up.
Everything happens for a reason. So it went from being an option to this is it.
This is it. All or nothing.
And I realized, you know, some of the best moves in life are when they are made, not seeing them as options, but, hey, this is do or die.
Yeah, you're right.
This is do or die. And so I thank you for taking those steps, because there are so many dreams. I'll put it to you this way. I say the richest place in the world is a cemetery, because it's full of dreams that never got manifested.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So the fact that you can say, when all is said and done, I did what I wanted to do. That puts you at the top percentage of people in the world, because most people don't do that.
Yeah.
So I congratulate you for that.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. So now, you taking the world by storm and you nothing but 2 months old. Lord, she ain't even teething yet. She's just 2 months.
I know.
You got the hot dogs. You got the funnel cake. You got a red velvet funnel cake that I'm going to slide out and try next time I'm in Birmingham.
Yes. So what about these snow cones? What flavors we got?
I have like 21 different flavors. 21 different flavors. Like, what flavors you got? 21. Like, it's on the menu. I take pride in that menu because I paid a lot of money for it. So there goes the menu. From strawberry to green apple to tiger's blood to wedding cake. What else? Peach, of course, pineapple. I think every flavor you could probably think of that's not our third. Yeah, I haven't gotten into like the crazy stuff that some people want, like dill pickle. I don't know about that yet, but anything that basically comes to your mind when it comes to shaved ice, I got it. I do have like the sour blast you can put on there. I just tapped into, because a lot of people ask me, do I have the cream stuff you put on the top? I just invested in buying that, so I'm probably going to start that this weekend. We're putting the cream topping on top of the shaved ice. I've never had it personally because that's not my type of thing to want cream on ice, but some people do. So I want to cater to my customers. So that'll be out this weekend.
As crazy as it may be, I would suggest the dill pickle. It's not my flavor. it's not my flavor by no means, but it is something that is wildly popular. Like, I thought this whole love for pickles kind of died out when I was in middle school, but apparently there are tons of folk that love pickles to that extreme. Because even Sonic now has a dill pickle slushie.
Oh, okay.
So it must be something. I guess that is the pumpkin spice of summertime. I don't know what's going on. But it's a thing. So do you have any plans to expand? I know you said you didn't want to start out with a brick and mortar. Do you think you'll ever look into that in the future?
Oh, absolutely. Oh my God, I get so many invites. Can you come out to my event this weekend? I can't be in two places at once. So my goal is to definitely get a brick and mortar, hopefully within the next year. And then my truck will still sustain as going out to events, birthday parties, family reunions, you know, things like that. And then I can have my permanent location where people can just come to me as well. So hopefully within a year, 1 year is my goal.
All right. If I know anything, I'll try to keep my ear to the street. So, you know, send my soldiers out and have them report back to me and send you any leads I may have.
Also. Okay.
Open spots, because I want to see businesses grow and develop, so I'm happy to support however I can.
Yes, thank you. That's the hard part, the location. So,
location. Well, wherever you at, you know, I'm going to make my way to you, because I have to try it. I'm not going to try all 21. I'm going to try like a good 13.
Come on. I can't wait to have you.
Oh, you won't miss me, because I'm going to be that person that's in the Food Truck Scholar t-shirt with the camera taking all the pictures. That's going to be me. Typically kind of hard to miss me. Always going to have on something purple. If you had one piece of advice that you would give to a food truck owner, what would it be?
Oh, wow. 2 years in? I'm sorry, not 2 years. 2 months in, and I'm giving advice.
Yes. Listen, this is the best time to do it in a lot of cases, because a lot of times people give it once they, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years in. But you coming in fresh and somebody who's like, what do I do? They want to hear what's it like.
I would say look, and then I'm saying expanding on my menu. Keep your menu simple. Stand out for at least one or two things on your truck. People don't like to read too much into things, and that's just with my own experience, you know. So I would just say keep your menu simple and have one specialty thing that people will just crave for and will just make sure that no matter what's going on in their life, they come in to get this item because this is what you specialize in. So that's what this, I would just give my advice on, is keeping it simple and have one specialty item that you're known for.
Now, see, look at you. That's something that a lot of food truck experts say, so you right on target. See? Look at you.
Yeah.
got to be in yourself.
So, Chandra, how can we connect with the Arctic Shack on social media? How can we connect with you, find you? And if somebody wants to be an angel donor and bless you with some funds to help with that brick and mortar, how can we connect?
You guys can connect on my Facebook handle, The Arctic Shack LLC. I haven't tapped into Instagram yet, but Facebook, The Arctic Shack LLC. You know, if you guys want to be generous and donate, the Cash App is The Arctic Shack. And make sure the Arctic is spelled with A-R-C. A lot of people leave the C out when you're spelling Arctic and say A-R-T-I-C is A-R-C-T-I-C, Shack. And then on Facebook, make sure you put the LLC behind it because I am corporated, and that's how you guys can find me.
I'm so thankful you said something about that C because I would have been one of those people.
Yeah, people leave it out all the time, but I guess it's an honest mistake.
You know, I felt like Hooked on Phonics did a good job teaching me, but every now and again, there's a few words that, because of my accent with my southern dialect, I just totally mm-hmm. leave that C out.
Yeah, so the Arctic.
Appreciate you. Well, you know what? I don't even care if it's October. I am making my way to you as long as you are open. I am going to make sure you are patronized. I have a list of food trucks that whenever I come home, whether I'm at their truck or the brick and mortar that they just got, I always make my way to them. And a lot of times they'll be the first people I see when I get off the interstate before I see family, friends, or anyone. And you will be added to that list. So just know if there's any way that I can be of service to you and how I can support, I'm more than happy to do so.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure, you know, talking to you today. Like, look, we've been friends.
Well, that's my goal. You know, you come here, you think you're going to find just a host, but you might find your new sister, your friend, your supporter, however. But I'm here. I'm going to ride with you till the wheels fall off, and I'm going to get me a pineapple slush. I've kind of already planned what my order is going to be. I got to get like a peach one or something like that, because by the time I get there, you're probably going to have these peach funnel cakes. And I'm trying to make a decision between if I'm going to get a peach funnel cake or a red velvet one. I'm trying to make some decisions here, but I will come to a decision.
Okay, I will definitely let you know when I get those peaches.
Listen, I will be on standby. It has been a pleasure talking to you. Another Birminghamian here. This may be the first time you're on the show, but I hope it won't be the last. I am looking forward to having you on as the Arctic Shack continues to grow and expand.
Yes, and I love the food truck, Carla. I love what you're doing.
Well, look, I'm out of time, but I'm definitely not out of material. Once again, thank you for kicking it with me for another episode of the Food Truck Scholar Podcast. If you are a food truck owner that would like to be a guest or a listener that has suggestions for a food truck I should try, email me at Ariel, that's A-R-I-E-L, at thefoodtruckscholar.com. And make sure you follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as The Food Truck Scholar to stay up to date on the latest in the food truck world. I'm your host, Ariel D. Smith, signing off and reminding you to eat local, buy local, and support your local food truck owners. I'll see you next week.